and a very good warm Thursday afternoon to you folks. Thank you so much for listening, and your ears, brain cells, and of course Funny Bone will be thanking you profusely. Adam here on WWGH Radio. A nice hot and sticky sort of Triple H day in Mid-Ohio, but in late July, that's pretty much par for the course. And as you might have seen on my Facebook promo, I have two gentlemen in the studio with me who are going to provide great information. They certainly invite your questions, which you can pose to me through Facebook, or even better, just do it the old-fashioned way. Pick up your phone, dial 740-383-WWGH, and we will be more than happy to attend to your questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, and anything else. Since it is the final Thursday of July, goodness sakes, back to school time before you know it. Thankfully, I graduated eons ago. But for those going back to school, I wish you a great, productive, and educational school year. For you grown-ups like myself, just another month, nice tail end of summer. But as we do enjoy the last Thursday of July, I welcome my monthly guest, very good friend of the station, Mr. James Anderson, and we do have a special guest of our own. But let's start with James, and you were on recently with Scott, of course, discussing things other than the flora and fauna and wildlife that you are quite expert in. I'm glad to see you. Good spirits in the studio. How has the last half of July been treating you so far?
So far, so good.
That's good. Well, so far, so good. I could certainly think of much, much, much worse. We appreciate having you here. As folks probably know, you are the official naturalist for Marion County, Mid-Ohio, and most of the universe, and the official naturalist of this station. And we are privileged to bring aboard a gentleman that you've worked with, not just this summer, but the previous summer.
Yes.
He's an intern. Younger gentleman, but has a wealth of knowledge about reptiles, amphibians, and other things that we share this great land with. His name is Jonah Bowdle, and I did in fact pronounce his name correctly the first time. So, Jonah, as they said on the TV show What's My Line, which probably was from your great-grandparents' generation, sign in, please. That is, tell us about yourself.
Oh, my name is Jonah. I'm the naturalist intern, so I give programs for the...
Louder.
I give programs for the Marion County Park District. I recently graduated from Pleasant High School, and I'll be attending OSUM in August, and I'll be studying animal sciences.
So it's back to school time for you, my friend. Yes. And you'll be a freshman in college at OSU Marion.
Yeah, I'll be a freshman, but I got my associate's degree through taking college classes in high school, so I'm already a good way through my degree.
That's quite good. So as our listeners have seen, Jonah has been involved in many of the programs with the Park District, and this is his second year as an intern. And we've talked about the intern program, James, many times. Is Jonah the first person who's been an intern who's kind of come back for seconds or come back for an encore?
Yep, he sure is.
So what are you going to do next year? Can we have a second encore? We're going to have another intern.
We're just going to look for another intern. Okay. Hopefully we'll be as good as Jonah.
Well, let's hope so. So, Jonah, how did you get involved in being in the internship program? That's what I wanted to say. See, with live radio, it's okay to flub up a little bit as long as you giggle a couple times. How did you get involved in the internship program with the Park District? And as James and I have discussed, you are quite an expert in reptiles and amphibians. You have a YouTube channel. Tell us more about that.
So I was part of the Marion County Junior Fair Board. So I help run the Marion County Fair each year. Specifically the goat department. So I've been doing that for the past 4 years. One of the advisors, one of the senior fair board members saw the the job listing, I guess, or something out on Facebook about it, and then they send it to me because they thought of me because I do, you know, exotic animals and all kinds of things, and that's how I ended up applying and interviewing, and then I got the job, and I really enjoyed it, so I came back the next year.
But you've been interested in animals other than Homo sapiens your entire life, I imagine. Well, we are members of the animal kingdom, so I often say it that way. And honestly, I know a lot of dogs and cats and other animals that are probably above a lot of human beings in the intelligence scale. So I don't mind saying that whatsoever. But I assume since you were young, you've been interested in non-human animals and plants and other things that we share the great planet with.
Yeah, so I have some older brothers, and they would catch, like, snakes and stuff when I was younger. And we would keep some sometimes, like garter snakes, and kind of learn about them. So I was always kind of interested in reptiles. I got used to them. But about 6 years ago now, I started keeping a green iguana, and then I got into crested geckos, and then I got into red-eared sliders, and now I have tons of lizards and turtles. And, yeah, for the past 6 years, I've been running a YouTube channel. It's called DIY Reptiles. I've posted over 600 videos on it. Not all of them are good, but maybe some of the recent ones are better, hopefully. I have close to 4,000 subscribers, but yeah, I make mostly videos about how to create enclosures and do like good husbandry for common reptiles that you keep in captivity, but also I make some videos about like native turtle laws and stuff like that to make sure people are doing it correctly and providing their animals with everything they need.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with our monthly guest, Mr. James Anderson, and James Anderson's guest, the official Park District intern, Mr. Jonah Bowdle, talking about his collection of animals that do not belong to the species Homo sapiens, and trials and tribulations, and his YouTube channel. And we invite your telephone calls, because no talk show is complete without audience participation. Comments, questions, complaints, suggestions, whatever floats your boat, so to speak. We'd love to hear from you. I am live in the studio on South Prospect, 740-383-9944. Those are the digits. We would be very pleased to hear from you. And I can assure you both of these gentlemen are walking encyclopedias of flora and fauna, especially if it's a reptile-type question. Jonah will be happy to answer it. And if it's almost anything else, well, James probably can also. And any program with Adam is likely to have a giggle or two, so we're going to laugh a little bit, as laughter certainly is the best medicine. So, Jonah, you'll be a college student officially, even though you've already had associate's level education. What are your career aspirations? Do you want to be maybe in charge of the Columbus Zoo? Do you want to maybe own a reptile store? Do you want to have a TV show all about rattlesnakes? What kind of career aspirations do you have?
Yeah, so I have there's a couple of different paths I might go down. Currently, the plan is to apply to veterinary school after I get my bachelor's degree, and then to become a zoo veterinarian, where I'd kind of coordinate reptiles, work with conservation, breeding reptiles, birds, amphibians, and also like do normal veterinary things, like taking care of them, making sure they're good, figuring out their proper nutrition, all kinds of stuff like that. Some other paths that I've thought of is kind of being like a zoo coordinator for like a reptile house. That sounds super interesting to me. That's kind of what I do at home already, to be honest. A lot of people call my room a zoo because I have like tons of enclosures and lots of I keep lots of reptiles, fish, insects, amphibian, or I have some frogs, but they just live outside, and then lots of insects. Yeah, but I've also thought of being in like a professorial position. I really like teaching. Obviously, that's what I do for this job, is I go around to the different parks and I teach about my animals, but also just native animals, and I really enjoy being in that type of position.
So as the intern for the County Park District, you especially with James having been on leave earlier in the year. You have taught classes. You've interacted with people. What are some of the things that you've enjoyed doing this year and last as the intern?
Well, so I do a Jonah and Friends program where I bring out generally reptiles, birds, and insects. So I generally have my bearded dragon, a couple of turtles, maybe a chicken or two, because those are only birds I keep right now. And then I bring a lot of roaches, so I breed a good number of roaches, like Madagascar hissing cockroaches, giant cave roaches, dubia roaches, roadrunner roaches. It's not everyone's thing, not everyone's into it, but I mainly breed them so I can feed them to my geckos. Unfortunately, I can't bring my geckos to many programs because it's just too hot for them. They kind of need it cooler. But I really enjoy those programs. Tomorrow, I have a night hike at Tallgrass Trail, and we've done one other night hike. We'll have the one tomorrow, and then there's going to be one in August, or two in August. James is doing one, too, at OSU. And I think the night hikes are super fun, so I'm excited to do that again tomorrow. And then it's been fun so far. We've gone to all kinds of events, like the Marion County Fair, the Waldo Summer Festival, the Oorang Bang event, a bunch of other ones that I can't remember. So we've been out to all kinds of things, setting up, doing presentations, and that's been really fun to meet and interact with people and teach them about the native wildlife.
So roaches, those are not most people's favorite member of the insect family. I mean, they really serve no purpose, but they are food for animals. And you mentioned like for the geckos, and I know people with cats, they said that they eat the roaches. So they really aren't a favorite species from a human standpoint, but to some other members of the animal kingdom, they're a gourmet dinner. So you do raise them, just like people that have steaks might raise mice or rats as food. So do people kind of get squeamish, Jonah, when you talk about raising roaches, but not just as pets, but as food for these other animals?
Yeah, I've definitely had, when I get to, I saved the roaches for last for my programs, but I've definitely had some people just leave immediately when I start getting out the roaches. But yeah, not everyone's into it. A lot of people are kind of freaked out by them. Maybe they move a little bit too fast, or a lot of the species that I keep they're very large, so it's a lot like bigger than people are used to seeing insects. But I've like completely lost the, like, I don't, like, obviously I'm not afraid of any, like, I've been keeping all of these different species for like 5 or more years, so it doesn't affect me anymore. Like, I don't even see them as weird because, like, they just live in the tubs in my room.
Just
so,
another day at the office. So.
Yeah.
Adam here on The Talking Place, almost 12:30 on a nice, toasty, and humid Thursday afternoon, taking your phone calls as we talk to Park District intern Jonah and Park District head honcho James Anderson. I guess that's kind of what you are. So,
Mark Naturalist.
An all-around interesting dude. Taking your phone calls at 740-383-9944. So, James, every month, of course, the Park District has multiple programs that are open to the public. In most cases, they are free of charge. So, tell us how the July events have been coming along.
So, some of my programs have been doing well, and I've been hearing Jonah's programs have been very well attended, and some people have said that he's done a very well job, especially when he brings his critter friends out. So we're excited that people are utilizing the parks and coming out to our programs and all. And did you want me to go ahead and go into August, or do we want to wait till...
Oh, later? Yes, let's go ahead and start with August, as I think I join a lot of people in that I'm a little sick of summer and the humidity. Let's have a little cooling down, even though the cooling down process in August is very, very slow.
Yes.
But it gives us something to look forward to. And, Joni, you're looking forward to starting out at OSU Marion, I'm sure. So I think August is a month of positivity.
Yeah. All right. So on the 1st at 6 p.m., we're doing a prairie plant tour. This is at the Beaver Wildlife Area. If you're not familiar, this is right off the state, Route 739, right outside of Green Camp and this Marion City. On the 3rd, Jonah will be doing his program,
Jonah and Friends, and that will be again on the 3rd, starting from 5 and ending around 6:30 p.m. And again, he'll be bringing out some critters out, and you can look at them, and it's a pretty good time. On the 5th, we will be at the Caledonia Square for their Kids Day event from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., so come check us out. And then on the 9th, we're doing another Prairie Plant Tour program at 6 p.m., but this one will be at the Marion OSU, the Prairie, the Yoder Prairie, which is right next to the new science building. So meet at the South Student parking lot, Lot 3. And we will be doing some, looking at some plants over there. So yeah, they got a lot of neat prairie plants out there. On the 11th, from 9:30 to 11, Jonah will be doing a night hike at the Tallgrass Trail, starting at the trailhead. So it's science in the dark. Just please bring some form of red light. We won't go into too much detail, but one of the things is, it just helps with your night vision. And then on the 16th, from 5 to 6:30, Jonah will be doing a hike with the intern naturalist and a plant identification course. That will be at Marion Tallgrass Trail, starting at the trailhead. Then, of course, we'll be at Third Thursday on the 17th from 4 to 8, so come check us out over there. And then on the 18th from 9 to 11 o'clock, I will be at out at Marion OSU for a night hike. Again, it will be at the Prairie. Again, please meet at the South Student parking lot, Lot 3. On the 21st at 8 o'clock in the morning, we'll be doing a morning bird watching program at the Tallgrass Trail, starting at the DeCliff parking lot. And then the last program for August is on the 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. We're doing a Creaking for Critters program at the Paradise Nature Preserve. Just please make sure that you are going to wear clothes. You don't mind getting wet dirty, because we will be going in the Olentangy River.
Going in the river. Now that sounds like a fascinating and slightly wet experience.
Oh yes, well, like you said, but being hot, it's a nice day to do that.
Now, James, do sometimes people forget to bring appropriate clothing, and you end up going somewhere dirty, and it's like, this is my brand new suit. This is my fancy designer jeans.
Yeah, I've had that with shoes wise. Yeah, actually, this February I had one owl program. We were at the trail, but we went kind of off the trail because I know where a little nest is. And this guy was wearing a nice pair of shoes, and I can tell he wasn't happy. But hey, we got an owl at the end, so I think that helped made up for it.
Well, I will be surprised if people have these experiences, and you gotta kind of be prepared.
Oh yeah,
you never
absolutely
quite know. You're not like going to the shopping mall. You're going out into nature, and nature can certainly be unpredictable.
That's right. It surprises
now,
you.
Adam here on the Talking Place, WGH Radio, with our monthly feature with the naturalist James Anderson from the Marion County Park District, and we have our official naturalist intern, Mr. Jonah Bowdle, here in the studio, taking your questions, comments, concerns, and complaints. So give us a ring at 740-383-9944. So, Jonah, you mentioned that in your room you have quite a menagerie, to put it mildly. Is it just amphibians and reptiles, and do you have a cat or maybe a hamster or anything else to kind of balance it out? Or you kind of stick to our friends with the scales and similar types of creatures?
So I have two cats. One's about 13. The other one's like 2. I have a dog. I've been sitting dogs on and off for like 10 years, so I have a lot of experience working with dogs. I also have some chickens, 3 of which were dropped off like illegally at Tallgrass Trail. And that's another way that I got involved with the Tallgrass Trail. I came and caught them, so now they lay my eggs. I have 3 Rhode Island red hens, and then I have a tiny bantam rooster named Kyle. He's pretty great. He's funny. He attacks my boots. And throughout, I've been doing 4-H for the past 10 years, so I'm used to raising goats and chickens. I mean, we don't have any market goats or chickens right now. But that's something that I have experience with as well. So I do kind of, I'm used to a diversity of animals.
So what are hens and roosters like as pets? You think of the rooster as kind of being loud and doing the cock-a-doodle-doo every morning at 5, and the chicken just clucking a lot. Plus, they really aren't known as being too bright. But is there a bit of a misconception as to what these animals are like? And are they good pets? And are they lovable? Are they lovable and cuddly like a dog?
So I do have one hen that kind of likes to be pet, and she's a little bit more friendly than the other ones. I didn't raise these ones, so like none of them. I got them when they'd already kind of gotten to the adulthood stage, so I don't really know what their upbringing was like. But one of the hens is definitely more friendly than the rest of them. Her name's Trudy, and she'll let you pet her and pick her up, and she kind of seems to enjoy that. Kyle, I mean, he has a normal rooster mentality. He wants to protect the flock, and whenever I go in there, he tries to attack my boots, but because he's a bantam, so he's an extra small chicken, basically, it's just kind of funny because he can't do anything, and I can just grab him and pick him up, and then he's helpless at that point.
So they're kind of comical, not necessarily what you might expect out of a feathered pet.
Yeah, I'd say so. I wouldn't say they're super friendly, but they're fun to let out into the yard and watch, like eat bugs and eat plants and different types of things. And they are very loud. I mean, he crows a lot, and the chickens, the hens do cluck quite a bit. But it's not something that I notice. I mean, I spend a lot of time outside, and I just completely tune it out. But if people are at the house, they seem to notice.
I would imagine. So when people come to your home, are they a little intimidated by all the different creatures that might be sharing space with them? Do they even know? I mean, are they just sitting there watching TV and chilling out, and suddenly a turtle walks in and...
So generally, if I have friends over, I kind of give them a tour of the zoo. The one animal that does intimidate them quite a bit, I have a green iguana named Charlie. She's about 6 years old. She likes me, but she doesn't seem to like anyone else. So she didn't like me when I got her, but I've had her for about 6 years. I mean, she's lived in the same room with me. She's used to me. I can pick her up and I can pet her. She really likes being pet, but she's very wary of other people. And they always say she kind of gives them like a death stare, but I think she's nice.
Cats are kind of like that. I know many cats where they only like their master, and sometimes it's just they just like one of the people. I mean, the husband, not the wife, or vice versa. Anybody else, it's like they're gonna kill you. They're gonna scratch you to death.
That's like Ben in my household.
So many animals are like that. Then not just cats. You never really quite know, do you?
Yeah, it's definitely like, I would definitely say the reptiles, they have maybe more personality than people might give them credit for. I have a bearded dragon, and he is chill around everyone. He's a great ambassador to bring around to different programs. I've brought him to different events for the Marion County Park District, and he's just, anyone can pet him, anyone can touch his face, and he's completely chill. But, like, not all bearded dragons are going to be like that. Some of them are going to be kind of aggressive, or at least very defensive, and they might, bite you. But he would never do that. Charlie, like to me, the green iguana, she's good. If I kind of move too fast, if I do too much, then she might kind of get like a little bit spooked. But she's generally cool with me. If other people kind of open the enclosure and try to mess with her or anything, she is a lot more defensive.
So many of these animals you've brought up, Jonah, are commonly kept as pets. We probably all have a friend with a bearded dragon, and sometimes people post their pictures on social media. People are proud of their pets. Obviously, you have the experience to be able to keep pets that other people might not be able to. So what are some of your recommendations for somebody who might want to keep a reptile or a frog turtle as a pet? Are there any that you have that may not be good for someone unless you really are experienced and patient?
Yeah, so I think, personally, I kind of think any of them can be kept, but you're going to have to put in a lot of work and research and not necessarily, like, time into it, but definitely, like, a lot of work and research. So if keeping a turtle is your goal, if you want a turtle, then there's a way you can do it right. But it might take a lot of work. Personally, if I'm going to recommend a pet, it'd probably be like some type of gecko, like a leopard gecko or a crested gecko. Personally, I'm a big fan of crested geckos. I think they make super easy pets. They don't need any special lighting. They eat a powdered diet. They can eat roaches, but they don't have to. Or they can eat insects, but they don't have to. They're pretty much good with their well-rounded powdered diet. And they just need high humidity and, like, room temperature. So, like, 75 degrees. Don't get it over, like, 84 degrees and you're good. So they're pretty much, they're very easy. They just need, like, a light to know that it's daytime. They don't even need a special light. Now with a lot of people keep bearded dragons, like you said, a lot of people end up with green iguanas, even though they get absolutely massive. A lot of people keep turtles, even though they get, like, way too big. So those aren't animals that personally I recommend, and I don't breed any of those species. I breed crested geckos, and I breed a couple other species of geckos because I know they're easy to keep. I know that I can find homes for them that'll be good, but I wouldn't breed turtles or bearded dragons or green iguanas or anything like that because I know they're just so hard to keep. You need all kinds of special lighting, which is not only expensive to obtain, but then an expensive electricity-wise. The food might be kind of expensive. I mean, I generally try to keep animals that it's easy enough to feed. Turtles, bearded dragons, and green iguanas need tons and tons of space, huge enclosures. I have in my room, my green iguana has an enclosure. It's like 6 foot tall, 5 feet wide, and I want to say 2.5 feet like wide. And then the bearded dragons in the equivalent of a 75 gallon. Then I have two 125 gallons and a 75 gallon in my room, so I can keep some of the turtles inside during the winter. So there's a lot that goes into keeping this many animals, and I'm used to it by now because I've been doing it so long. But a lot of people getting into it, that's crazy. Like, it's not normal to have a 125 gallon fish tank. So.
That is quite large. Adam here on The Talking Place with James Anderson and Jonah, the official Park District intern, taking your phone calls, questions and comments, complaints, suggestions, or just a call to say, how you doing out there? That's fine, too. 740-383-WWGH. I think I have racked Jonah's brain enough for the last 20 minutes, so we will give his mouth a rest and get back to James. Uh-huh. As we kind of talked about, I think last year, at some point the weather's going to cool down. It's not going to be 90 and humid like it is today, late September, October, November. We want to remind people that just because the weather cools down, back to school time, and goodness sakes, holiday season creeping up on us, that you don't go into hibernation, that there are still programs that the Park District puts on. In fact, in some ways, it's a more exciting time. The weather is cooler.
Yeah.
The leaves are beautiful. It's a transition. So what kind of things can we look forward to as we eventually, you know, once we get past this 90-degree Triple H weather, transition into the cooler time of the year?
Well, September 16th is our big dinosaur event, Paleontology in the Park. So we'll be talking about dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals that once roamed here on planet Earth long ago. And of course, we always talk about the Marion Mammoth discovery that they found over 40 years ago, because we're always very proud that so far we are the only mammoth discovery in the state of Ohio in Marion. So there's been mastodons, which are smaller than mammoths, but we are so far the only mammoth one.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Do we expect the mammoths to come back, kind of like a Jurassic Park thing, or
pretty much
extinct permanently?
Well, they've been talking about it. They'll somewhat bring it back, but it won't be a full species of mammoth. It's kind of almost in a way like they talked about in Jurassic Park. They'll basically be mixing DNA from the extinct animal and with the Asian elephant, and it will basically be a hybrid. It won't be a full-on mammoth, but still, everybody's freaking out and says, you know, we've had several Jurassic Park movies. We shouldn't be doing this. And like I always tell people, just like that famous quote at the first movie, you know, life finds a way.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
That's right.
Would you like to see the mammoth come back and roam this county? We talked about coyotes even in Chicago.
Yeah.
You might see a coyote, so how about a mammoth instead?
No. It would cause so much more damage than a deer would. Now, like, in a captivity like a Sioux, yeah, that would be interesting to see. But to be wild, no. Now, it would be interesting if they could do the passenger pigeon, which we did used to have in Ohio. Now, again, they are trying to think about bringing that species back too, but again, it's the same concept. It won't be 100% passenger pigeon. It'll be a hybridized between the DNA from the extinct species with, I want to say it's one of the collared doves. And so that'll be interesting. Have a hybrid going around here. So I don't know if that would be fine or if that would hurt the ecosystem and be considered invasive and, cause consequences. We would have to see.
So Jurassic Park really wasn't totally fictional, was it?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Sometimes things that seem totally fictional could end up being real.
Yeah, that's
now, right. What do you think, Joni? You probably saw Jurassic Park. Do you think we could bring some of these ancient species back? Any ancient species you'd like to make a reappearance?
I think it would be pretty cool if they could, like, bring a mammoth back or something. But like James said, it would have to be in captivity. I mean, if you're, like, it would be, like, kind of impossible to reintroduce such a large species into Ohio, and that would cause so many, you know, human-animal complications. That would be, like, I mean, we used to have bison here, right?
Yeah, in Marion County.
So that would be kind of like trying to reintroduce bison, and that just sounds like a train wreck we don't want, you know, bison walking onto the highways and all kinds of things. So that would be something more interesting, I think, to even consider. I mean, I don't know if there's parts of Ohio that have large enough areas to try to reintroduce bison in some type of way. It wouldn't work in like a town, like even as small as Marion.
It would certainly be different and put us on the forefront of the news, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
About 14 minutes before 1 Eastern Daylight Time here at the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Adam here, shooting the breeze with James Anderson and Joda Bowdle from the County Park District. Now, Jonah, this is your second time on the station. You were on with the possible next mayor of Marion, Mr. Glenn Coble, or I call him Glenn Corn on the Cob, L.E., previously. How do you compare being on with me versus being on with Glenn? Do you have a personal favorite? How's that for an on-the-spot embarrassing Uh-oh. Question?
I don't know, because it was so... I mean, it was like a year ago. So, I don't remember. This one is shorter, which I think might be better, though.
Okay.
Well, we were on 2 hours before.
Two hours with Glenn.
And Charlie.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, I guess the style, I think, mine and Glenn, there are similarities, but differences, and that just kind of makes for the fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We are taking your telephone calls at 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. We have two very interesting guests here in the studio on this nice, muggy Thursday. So, Jonah, when do classes start at OSUM? And when are you officially a full-time college student?
So, classes will start on August 22nd, and then I will also be working at OSUM over the year giving tours for the admissions office, I believe. So I'll start on the 21st, I believe. I'm taking all kinds of science classes, of course, as pursuing animal sciences, and that's kind of like the pre-vet path. And then after a year, I'll probably go to main campus, and I should be able to take some classes where I get to work with animals directly, which should be pretty fun. So I'm excited.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks. Not that it'd be here before you know it. So when you end up going to the Columbus campus of OSU, are you going to bring your pets with you? I kind of wonder, how does that work? It's a long commute, especially in the winter. And, you know, the traffic is like at the OSU campus. It's not one of my favorite places to go. Are you just going to take all your pets with you? And what's going to happen?
So throughout college, I plan on living with my parents. My dad, he works in Dublin, so in Columbus already. He already does like an hour commute every single day. So, I mean, 2 hours, hour there, hour back. So the plan is just to move that way once, like sometime during this year, and then I'll be able to keep all of my animals because Like, I can't live in a dorm. I can't live in an apartment. Like, fish tanks weigh so much. Like, I have to be kind of, like, in a room with concrete underneath it. And the whole reason I'm pursuing, you know, like, animal sciences or veterinary medicine or anything is because, like, I love keeping animals. So giving that up to pursue animals wouldn't really make sense for me personally. But, I mean, I understand that it's, like, a really big privilege that I'm able to be in a position where I can work with so many exotic animals and stuff. But yeah, the plan is to move down there, and then I'll be able to live at home and go to college.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering, because I can't see you bringing all those pets to a dorm room. I'm not much sure if turtles and roaches. Roaches probably are not allowed at a dorm room.
Heck, they'll get mad if you have a goldfish.
Yeah, I imagine they're pretty strict about that. So that's a good arrangement, as you can live closer, be near the exciting city of Columbus. Well, I guess it has its moments of excitement, and you won't be far from the Columbus Zoo, will you? So you'll be kind of near all kinds of good attractions.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. Part of the animal science program is that you have to do some type of internship. I'm hoping that somehow I can get an internship with the Columbus Zoo, or even during the summers, like on my own, just trying to work there and try to meet people and get involved in some way. I don't know if I'm going to end up working at the Columbus Zoo, but, you know, maybe I'd like to. I kind of got to get to know people, get to know what it's like down there and find that out.
I would imagine the job outlook for exotic animal veterinarians, more what you're looking to do. I mean, the animals aren't that exotic, but not dogs and cats and birds like most vets. The job outlook is pretty good. There are lots of employment opportunities. Many people like to keep different kinds of pets, and you know, if you have a turtle, what do you do if he or she is under the weather? You can't just go to your local veterinarian at, well, Yellow Pages or Google, whatever people use now to search. And so I would think services like that would be valuable.
Yeah, and there's quite a few. I mean, there's MedVet and like Animal Care Unlimited, and there's a good couple exotic vets that are in Columbus. Or like clinics that are in Columbus, and I know that MedVet is always building new places and always needing new like exotic veterinarians. So
open one in Marion.
It seems like their like the job outlook's pretty good as far as finding somewhere the job I'm pursuing is needed.
Have you ever had medical issues with your pets? And if so, where did you take them? Is there a turtle? Or a lizard veterinarian here in Marion. That kind of rhymes, veterinarian in Marion. Veterinarian.
There you go.
Okay, well, I'll just stop laughing at my own jokes and tell us. Yeah, there ever been a medical issue, and where did you take this animal to? Is there a lizard veterinarian in Marion?
So I have 8 turtles. I've kept more, but I take them in and I rehome them. So I've never bought a turtle. They're all rescues from people that don't want them anymore. And at one point, I got a male Mississippi map turtle. It had shell rot pretty bad, which is where, like, kind of bacteria gets into the shell, and it's not able to properly, the turtle's not able to properly dry out and kind of clean up its shell. So it kind of gets, it rots, like its shell rots. And that's pretty bad for the turtle. So I took it to MedVet in Columbus and got some antibiotics, and it was on antibiotics for a while. And that's kind of the nearest place that I can think of to go. Most of the places around here that I can think of are just for dogs and cats, and sometimes you can take your reptiles there, but that doesn't mean the vets, like, maybe they'll even, you know, be able to help it, but that doesn't mean they're super knowledgeable about it.
So Marion is unfortunately not a haven for medical care for animals other than, of course, humans, but dogs and cats. Do you think a city this size, I mean, Marion's 36,000 people plus the county, do you think we need to have an exotic animal veterinarian here? Do enough people keep these kinds of pets that it would be a viable business?
I mean, I don't know. I do know. I feel like I've encountered throughout. I spend a lot of time on Craigslist. That's where I get most of my animals. Is like I find people that don't want them anymore, and then I get them. So I've met quite a few people who, or I've even seen posts from people who are breeding animals and keeping lots of, you know, exotic animals in Marion. I mean, it's way, way bigger in Columbus, and there's tons more people keeping them in Columbus and selling them and doing all kinds of things. There's tons of expos in Columbus where there'll be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of reptiles for sale. So I know it's a bigger thing in Columbus. I don't know for sure if it would be, you know, applicable. I'm pretty used to driving to Columbus to get things or to go certain places, so it doesn't seem that crazy to me. Especially, I mean, my dad's used to driving there every day, so it kind of seems within our realm, or within our reach, within our realm. But I don't know. Maybe that would be something to look into. I don't know.
No. For people that are looking to get an exotic pet, like a turtle, I mean, this comes up with rabbits a lot. They're cute when they're young, then they grow, and they are known to, let's say, pursue adult activities if there's another rabbit, and you end up having 15 rabbits. And they're kind of messy. They really aren't that bright, but they're cute when they're young. Do you have the same issue with reptiles somebody gets, the baby lizard or bearded dragon, turtle, even the corn snake? The reptiles commonly kept as pets, and they lose interest that the pet grows, it eats a lot. Is that a common issue? And what tips do you have for people looking to get an exotic pet? And what should they think about to make sure they understand the obligation of keeping one of these creatures?
So that's definitely an issue. That's the main reason why I take in turtles and I take in animals, because there's so many that are already produced in captivity. And especially, that's definitely a problem with turtles. So I think what happens a lot with turtles is, since I've been to a lot of expos and stuff, there'll be a lot of vendors and they have bins of these tiny, adorable, cute little turtles. Now, you're not supposed to, like in the United States, you're not supposed to sell turtles under 4 inches of shell length, which is like a good size for a turtle. So that's like a couple year old turtle. But the vendors don't want to, you know, keep them for that long. They don't want to raise them to that size because no one's really interested in a 4-inch turtle. They're interested in a 1-inch tiny baby turtle. So they get around that by selling it as kind of for educational use, which is just, I mean, like air quotes, educational use. that doesn't really apply to the normal person. It applies to maybe teachers, maybe people like James and I, and maybe like wildlife officers, people who are actually using it for educational use. But you sign a little waiver and then you get your cute tiny turtle and then you take it home. You know, a year or two goes by, the tank's disgusting and the turtle's massive and it eats all the time and you have to do water changes all the time, and no matter what you do, you can't get it clean because you didn't have a big enough tank and you didn't have proper filtration and you didn't research before you got it. And then you post it on Craigslist and I pick it up. So that's that kind of seems to be the way of things. That's why I've gotten quite a few of them. But it's not only that. Sometimes people, they take care of it. They have huge fish tanks. They do everything properly. And then they want to move to a different state. And then they can't keep them anymore. So turtles live for an incredibly long time, upwards to 40 years. So a lot of the species, I have one at home that's 25. I've had it for about 3 years, and it was given to me when it was 22. And they live just an incredibly long time. They get really big, and they need, you know, like 100-gallon fish tank setups, which not everyone can do. So I don't super recommend getting... I definitely don't recommend buying baby turtles, because it wouldn't make sense to support that type of... I don't know if it could be considered a scam or whatever. If you're looking to get turtles, I recommend either finding one for free off of Craigslist or posting that you say, you know, get all the correct enclosure and everything, and then be like, hey, I can take in a turtle if somebody needs it, and I'm 100% sure someone will message you and give you a turtle, because I've done that, and I've gotten like 20 turtles.
So most of your turtles were acquired as a rescue. But just like with rabbits, and sometimes even dogs and cats, people should think a lot and ask around before taking on one of these pets. And that turtle's older than you are. He's 20, 25 years old. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so they're definitely a huge commitment. Even, depending on the species, like, I mean, the geckos I keep can live to 15 to 20 years. The iguana can live for, you know, 15 to 20 years. So a lot of them, if they're kept correctly and they're raised correctly, then they can live for a really long time. And it's important to know what you're doing, because some turtles that I have, they weren't raised properly, and their shells are permanently deformed. Sometimes, like with bearded dragons, they can get metallobionic bone disease when they don't have the proper lighting or the proper diet or both. And that kind of screws up their bone structure for their entire lives, and they can continue living for a really long time after that, even though, you know, they're kind of disabled, if you will. So it's definitely very important to do your research. Always look for, I mean, my thing is always look to take the animals in rather than going and buying them from a pet store or something, because there's always animals. There's always, especially reptiles, that need taken in. And Craigslist, or I think Facebook Marketplace, I don't know if you can rehome animals on Facebook Marketplace, is always a great resource to find people that have an animal that you might want that they just don't want anymore, and that definitely needs a home.
Great advice, and we thank Jonah for joining us on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. About 25 seconds left, James Anderson. Thank you again for your monthly visit to this radio station, and we look forward to our next get-together in late August of 2023. Remind people to become a fan, follower, friend, etc. of the Park District on Facebook. There's photos and information about upcoming events. Adam, thanking you for joining us today. Adam at WWGH1071.com.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.